Well, good evening. You know, there's this weekend, tomorrow. You know, usually when I do a series of teachings, I start off with what is the fundamentals, deep. And so tonight our message is deny yourself. And tomorrow we'll talk about body life, the church, and afternoon, probably missions, kind of that way. So that's kind of the order I have. And I think I know some of what I'm going to say, but I have no idea. It just seemed the last couple of days I just shut it down because I was done. And I was just hoping it doesn't give a snowstorm because I do need to get this out, okay? So I look at deny yourself, and I could have a subtitle to that, unfollow yourself. So that's modern term. We go with the old-fashioned, deny yourself. And so we're going to read in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26. I think this is a fundamental that has been missed over the years quite a bit, a part of being born again. And it has become so sloppy of how you just want to accept Jesus and they say, yes, that's all it is. But yet there is a denying, and it's identifying with Christ, yes. So anyways, I want to start reading here in Luke 9:23. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gains the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, in his Father's and of the holy angels. So here we see, I do believe, this is so important as part of the typical, accept Jesus, yes. But how do you do that? How do you come to Christ? You enter into what Jesus laid out for us. And it is because I needed to be saved. He didn't come to improve me. He came so I die and live his life. And so there's a saying here I wrote down. I forgot to write down the author of that. But a man in his spiritual pride has exchanged God's method of self-denial for Satan's plans of self-improvement. And I just saw that today, and I wrote it on the back here, because that is exactly what's going on in most cases. We don't, self this, self that, selfish. It's a whole list of selves and every other positive word behind it, but the Bible doesn't have that. We're here to deny ourselves, and you could interchange that with dying to yourself. Deny in the Strong's Concordance simply means disown, to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. Is there anything left? Not much. It's all gone. I lose sight of my own interests. I got interests. I disown myself. But the reason is I'm going to take up Christ. I'm following him. Don't forget that. It is a complete change life. It is not, so many people, we try to improve on this and improve on that, And I'm not saying that isn't a thing in itself, but it is not to replace this. It is we deny ourselves. We say no to ourselves and say yes unto Jesus. It has to be that way. Because when I say, because you cannot have, we'll get to that. I have too much in here right now. And it doesn't go in order with my stuff here. Did we set aside selfish interests, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, if needs be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in Jesus? And so this is where I came up with, you know, how do you follow Jesus Christ? It is by unfollowing yourself. You cannot have two masters. So it's very simple, because you cannot, it says you cannot. And so we follow Christ by unfollowing ourselves. I want to see what, you know, I want to live unto Christ. I want to lift up Christ. I want to live his life. Because since I say I'm born again, I simply had come to the end of myself, or I can't say it. If you say you're born again, you had come to the end of yourself. You know you're no good. And I wonder how many people do that. Have they come to the end of themselves? So that is where it all starts. That's where this life starts. And so then, you know, we take up his cross daily and follow him. We're not ashamed of that type of gospel. We're unashamed of Jesus, his words. You know, this is sometimes, well, you know, God's going to bless you and do this and do that for you. Well, the Bible, you know, Jesus Christ will fulfill his promises, what he has promised. I'm sure of that. But I'm not ashamed of his gospel. When I feel I'm completely in of myself, things aren't working out for me, but I still believe in Jesus, I die daily. This is not maybe a popular gospel, but it is part of everything we do, and it has to be. You cannot surrender to something you don't believe in. That makes us think a little bit. Because if I don't believe in it, I'm not going to do it. And I tell you what, if I would believe this stage is not safe to stand on, I'm not standing here. You know, that's just how it is. You don't try stuff at my age. And it says we don't look back. We come out of ourselves into the life of Christ. We don't put our hand to the plow now and look back and long for the things back in the world. We're supposed to be beyond that. Elizabeth Elliot says a story in one of her conferences that she was teaching, and a homeschool mom came in with a little children, sat in the front bench. And she was talking about denying yourself. And she said, oh no, now we got children here. You know, that's going to sound pretty harsh. But she did. She shared her message she had, and she got a letter 2 weeks later. She got a letter from a 6-year-old boy. He said he's learning how to deny himself daily. He's 6 years old, and he has a 2-year-old sister that needs to take a nap every afternoon, and she doesn't want to. So he lays down with her every day until she falls asleep. Now you all got the picture, right? It's very simple. You know, we deny ourselves for the good of the gospel, for the good of others. You know, that's what we have been empowered to do. You know, some people say, well, you're good people. I couldn't do that. That is what God empowers us to do. If a six-year-old got the message, everybody here tonight does. Because it is so important that this is made practical. You know, I love that. Because he knew every day he dies daily. He denies himself daily and does what needs to be done to help somebody else. Jesus went along and called his disciples and said, follow me. What did they have to do? They had to deny themselves, leave their nets, leave their tax collecting, and follow him. So they had a denying to do. That's the call of God. It will not build ourselves up. It will build up Christ. We take up our cross daily and follow him. Not occasionally, not when convenient, not when you feel spiritual. Daily, every single day, the same death, the same denial to embrace Christ's lordship. You know, is he Lord? What do you do when something comes across your path that you were not expecting? Is Christ still Lord? How's your reaction? You know, I'm a very programmed guy, in a sense, and I hate disruptions. I have to die to that daily. One thing is, you go to a foreign country, you got plenty of chance to do that daily, many times daily. I remember I went to PA prison crusades, and you know, the time changes, the things in the timing, you had to know what the time is and when it's supposed to be in or out. And you had to, one time things got disrupted and I had an hour time to preach. By the end of it all, I had 20 minutes. You can really do a fast job in your mind and cut down a sermon really fast. But that's not who I am. But that is who Christ is working on to make me able to adapt and be pivot when I need to. It's getting out of your comfort zone. And that's what it means to take up the cross. It's not always comfortable. You know, to do right requires action. And to daily surrender of personal comforts, fears, selfish ambitions to follow Christ. Because you can't mix the two. You can't mix yourself and be a light of Christ. You know, these things are so much set in stone that we have a hard time believing because we know. But it is God has empowered us to live this life. That's why he came. But we're trying to get him to help us live our life. My vision, my goals, and I want to add Christ to what I have to do. I want to do that, and now I ask him to help join me in it. Deny yourself, because he is asking us to join him. And what he has picked out for us, not what you picked out for him to do for you. We pray primarily for God, what God can do for us. We worship, but you measure it by how it makes you feel. You read scripture mainly to find promises to help you. It sounds almost right, okay? But are we beyond that? Are we going deeper in Christ and knowing I want to give all of my life I want to give everything I have to make an impact for Jesus. You know, we're willingly put our lives in God's hand for His disposal. You know, everything in us, everything natural in us fights against that. That is true. We all know that. And that's what brought us to Christ and never go back to that again. Because that's where we lose out. We know, we taste it. And why isn't God working today like He used to? Or maybe something like that goes through our heads. But are we following Him like we used to? Are we denying, are we avoiding the hard things in life or the things that we think are, that won't help me? You know, we have such a tendency of, you know, we have an easy, humans have a very good way of avoiding embarrassments. But we always embarrass ourselves anyways. But it's things I feel like I am handicapped on. Most people wouldn't know what I'm not capable of doing because I won't reveal that. I will avoid it. And it's amazing when you're preaching. I'm going to give a little secret away. It's amazing when you're preaching, all of a sudden you come up against a word and in your mind you can't form it. You can go around that with a lot of little words and nobody knows. So it's those moments when you're like, but you got to keep on talking. No, you don't, but that's the feeling sometimes. Self-denial means you stop being the center of your own universe. You know, there's so many people, I pity them. I know, you know, I want to, you know, we're in control. I need to be in control. I need to be in the center of this. If you have that problem, ask God to cleanse you of that. Because when He wants to use somebody, He doesn't depend on your control. He doesn't want that. He wants to be your life, the Holy Spirit, to control you. And we're going to be talking. This is going to be carried through, you know, in church life, body life, missions, in all these areas that, Lord willing, we'll be able to talk about. But we want to start on this foundation. Self-denial determines how you handle criticism. How's your defense? You know, we need to self-defend ourselves. That is in the world today. That's all around us. The world is that way. If somebody bombs somebody else, we need to bomb them. You know, it's just the war culture that we live through. But defense, and when I do make a mistake on the road, I try to be very much like a gentleman. And somebody gets angry, I hate it. And I don't look at him, I don't do anything, I just keep going. But the idea of road rage and all those things that you read about, I understand where that comes from. I mean, hopefully you'll never see that from me, but it is those things that we all know about, justifying ourselves. Well, I didn't really mean it that way. That's beyond the thing that happened. You did it, and that's how it came across. Retaliate, get even with somebody, waiting for you to make a mistake. You know, all those things are controlled by ourselves. You know, we look at things like when we have denied ourselves, our preferences are no longer governed by my choices. It means your comfort, your reputation, your rights, your dreams, all of them died on the cross you carry daily. And we let those things. We don't just, our preferences are no longer in charge, but God is. Again, it sounds almost right how we look at some of these things. And remember, this principle of dying to yourself or denying yourself and taking up the cross and following Christ, some people ask the question. I've been asked this question. I kind of know around the bush what they were asking without saying it sometimes. Do you preach the same message as we people do in other countries, in the city? Yes, this is the message that has to be preached. And it works everywhere. It is still the only way to get to Christ. I don't care if you're an African, if you're come off the streets. I don't care where you come from. You come from the Amish. It's still the same way to Christ. And there are some things maybe that are that we can maybe see a little bit different. But this has to be. This has to be. So I never like that kind of feeling around. There's a different gospel for different groups. There is no different gospel that saves you, at least. There are different preachings out there and religions, but not Jesus Christ. He's asking us to deny ourselves. And Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he hates the one and loves the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And here it is clear. You cannot. So when I, you know, we all want more of God. You know, we can say, you ask and you shall receive. But, you know, we're very sloppy with that. So I'm going to ask God, but I have to die in order for God to give, because he will not, I cannot serve two gods. So when you think about it, when you say yes to God and say, Lord, I need more of you, you're saying, I want less of myself. It is, you know, we don't think about it, and we don't have to in a sense if we're living this life. But we always want, well, that's exciting. Lord, give me that. Is there room? Is this guy so big? Self, there's no room for it. You know, we all want that. And I want us all to have everything God has for us. That means, simply means, like it says, more. Is it more of him? It's less of me. Because we cannot serve two. And so when we're trying, people that try to live both sides are miserable. And there's a reason for that, because they don't have the power of God. They might do some good things, but they do it for themselves. And, you know, for us to simply let it in God's hands is the most peaceful, and you shouldn't wear yourself out. Because we're men. I mean, I'm a man, so I'm going to say it this way. We want to see movement. We want to see something accomplished. We want to see it happen. And for us to say, Lord, all that I give away for your sake. And we'll have plenty of work, but it is for his sake. And sometimes people say it's for his sake, and they are working like crazy for themselves. So that's possible too. What else do we use to protect ourselves? I don't have many notes on this. I preached a full message here five weeks ago at home. Lying. Oh, we don't lie. That is, why do people lie? Why can't I come out? Why do I mislead a story like in the news media? Are they that blind they think they're not lying? They know they're lying, I believe. But sometimes I don't want to tell it exactly how it happened because it would make me look bad. That's a lie. And the Bible is very clear, lie not to one another. It is to protect ourselves. And in Africa, I brought that up this last time. We had a little teaching on lying. And it really registered. Because it is nothing worse than we're not truthful with each other. It is really hard to trust each other. It violates everything there is. I mean, it doesn't help with unity at all. And so, you know, like this, I like to say it like this. This is what I was taught early in my Christian life. You know, sometimes people come up to you, I like to say, I'll pray for you. Is that the truth? You know, sometimes, for the best way, there's a lot of people like you wouldn't know and come up to you. Let's say you have a meeting somewhere and people come up. Pray with them. You know, don't make commitments you're not able to keep. And we should get together sometime. Is that just a nice gesture so you look good? Or is that a lie? That is such a subtle thing. But who's running your life? Because you come up and say something, so I need to say something, and I really don't mean it, but at least sound nice. You know, those are things that are just, when I never forgot that message from 30-some years ago. A brother just, I mean, he could really preach, and he did. I never forgot that. Of how to walk carefully in that, that we don't protect ourselves in telling by lying, which is not of God. Luke 14, verse 26 and 27. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever does not bear his cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. These are things it's very hard to, in other words, it's very hard to know, you know, how to do that. How somebody could, am I doing that, I should say. It's sometimes you look at it, am I really doing this? This hate here is love less. So love less your father and mother than Jesus Christ himself. So some people have a problem with that word hate, but it seems this is talking about a love, and there's nothing higher than loving Jesus Christ. So everything else is below that. And the cross is an exposure to death, you know, leads to death. Years ago in Africa, I had made a cross. It was Easter Sunday. I got our son to put a screw in the middle and had two pieces of little branches, sticks, and made a cross. I took it to church, and there was a visitor there. And I got up and explained the cross to the people that it's an instrument of death. And this visitor got up and went up and got the cross. I said, this cross means me plus God. Well, I had to get up again. I went back up and I said, this means death to you. I mean, very seldom I'm that way, but that one push that a little bit too far. And it is me dying to myself and allowing Christ to have his way in my life. Yes, that leads me to Christ. But it's not some benefit of me plus Christ. It is me in Christ. And it's a big difference. He wasn't meaning it in a positive way more than himself. And then later we found out he hung around us for a little bit. He was trying to get money from us, stuff like that, to create his own ministry and all those things. How do you know if you embrace Christ on his own terms rather than yours? The first symptom is to treat Christ, do you treat God as a means to your end, as a means to accomplish what you want to accomplish, or is Christ the end of you? You know, that is usually a good way to look at it. I'm not here trying to be accepted, acknowledged, applaud, all those things. I'm not here for that. But I'm here. I met Christ, and that's where my life ended and his begun in me. You know, the cross is something that works for all. We die to ourselves, we die to our arrogance, our pride, our superiority, our depressions. This time of year, depression levels are pretty high. But the cross also takes care of that. Charles Spurgeon has a quote here: "You will never glory in God till, first of all, God had killed your glorying in yourself." And I had to think of that so much, of how, you know, we can all act like we're worshiping God, we can all act like we're glorifying God. But are we? I mean, I know I am pushing a little bit, and I think it's good. But the answer is dying to ourselves and taking up the cross and following Christ. Yes, with passion, with boldness, but in humility. In knowing it's not my agenda, the Bible's written, we know what his agenda is. Let's give ourselves fully to that. And we'll hear more as the day go on through tomorrow. I thought this was in my notes tonight when Jesse read it, and it is Galatians 2:20. I knew it was in one of them. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. It's very interesting as you follow this thought. I live, not I. But Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live, okay, we're living, but I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he is using, it's almost like, okay, here we go. But it is, not I, but Christ lives in me. And it is that creates an action that's seeable. It is not just Christ is in my heart. You got to understand. Do I have to convince you I'm alive or dead tonight? There's never a dead person ever told somebody else, I'm alive. So when we are living this life and Christ liveth in me, you will know that. And you will know if he's not. You have to know Christ. You can pick out the counterfeits. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I thought I'd bring that in, that covetousness, jealousy, is all governed by self. And let not that be in you. No contentment in your life always needs more. Inability to be satisfied. Discontentment relates to covetousness. So where are we at? Sometimes I'm not satisfied where I'm at in Christ. You know, I'm not saying there's nothing that ever could be positive. But if I'm discontent because you got more than me in things, you know, those things, and I want that because you have that. I want, you know, let somebody in a Christian world view, you know, that we have that, that a Christian that is walking in Christ, it should motivate me too. But I don't want to take it from him. I know there's more. I know there's something for me too. So who is the center of your life? Is it yourself or God? Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Very, very good. You know, we set our affections on things above. We are here in this world. We go to work every day. And yet, we are focused on Christ for our own personal lives. We die daily. I don't die daily for you. I die daily for myself so I can be a blessing to you. That is what we do all the time while we're working and we're tired. It doesn't change anything, like Jesse was saying, when his body is not in full, the battery isn't full. It still needs to function correctly, okay, in this life of Christ. I know how it feels when you don't have much in there. I know that. And but anyways, we still are called to live out Christ. What comes out, you know, in a Christian's life, what comes out with a full battery and what comes out with a 25% left battery is the same. It's a Christian life. We can't do everything. We would love to. But we're hid in Christ. That is so good. When we're in Christ, we're hid in Christ. Are you satisfied to be hid in Christ? Christ, nobody sees you. It's Christ. There was a meeting, I think it was D.L. Moody was one of the preachers, but a senator from the U.S. went over in Europe, and they went to hear this preacher, and in the evening was Moody's message. But they went in the morning, the senator went with the guy, and they had, and in the way home, he said, what do you think about the message? Oh, he said, that was good. And he explained things, that was good. And in the evening, on the way home from that service, the guy asked him, what did you think of Brother Moody's message? He says, oh, we have a great God. You know, he didn't give much details, but he saw God. He saw Christ. Christ was made alive to him, not just some scripture, but Christ. And that's what we need. because our self will hinder us from revealing Christ, showing Christ, that we need this life. It is deeper. You know, we can do a lot of things in life, but it is Christ that will give us his life, and we're hid in him. We're satisfied to be hid in him because our affections are on those things. We're in Christ. We're under the blood. We're in the blood. We're protected. And why would we want to come out of there and look around to see what's still out there? Philippians 3:8. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or waste, that I may win Christ. What is your pursuit today? What are you pursuing? What are you passionately after? You know, is it waste? You know, he was talking about he was educated. That's one. I'm not against education at all. But if anything takes the head, if anything is more than Christ, he called it, he counted all things lost, that he may know Christ, and that we can suffer the loss of all things, but that I may win Christ. You know, the lack of commitment in this world today has influenced the church in many ways. And that lack of commitment is self, in marriage. Why are there abortions? It shouldn't be a question. It's self. And we were in the foster care system for many years. Why is that happening? Self over children. Laziness. I don't feel like it. Marriage. Give a couple a pointer here. That me and my wife experience here. Last summer sometime I was preaching Sunday morning. I was going to preach this. And about listening to each other and, you know, what's my interest, what's her interest, you know, sounds pretty marriage-wise. And the rest of you that are single, listen carefully. And brotherhood in the church, sisterhood, that's also important. Anyways, without thinking, I went, Lola made breakfast, I went out, and I had something to tell her. She had something to tell me. She was reading something. I had some very good thought. And I assume hers was good too. I came out there and she started talking. I was waiting for her to quit so I can say what I wanted to talk. But when I took a pause, she took over again and finished her story. And when she stopped, I finished mine. Then I realized I just played out something I was going to say that morning, but now I was caught. It was also my problem. And do you listen to each other? Do you listen to people? Or you just wish that person would stop talking because I got something more important than that? That is self. We deal with it, and that's why we are called to die daily. I thought that was just so, right when it was over, I got a revelation. And I still don't know what she said, and she probably doesn't know what I said. Because we were not listening. You're like a young couple like you, Lamar. Are you listening? But those are the simple things. That's why we should always walk humbly before God and humble ourselves, because this man will take myself, person, myself, man, will take every opportunity to insert his authority. And that is why it says, die daily. So listen to each other in the church. And that's where a lot of problems come in the church body. Am I willing to listen and consider what you say? Not just listen, I don't agree with you, but listen and think it through and know, yeah, you got a point. And maybe by the time it's all over with, I don't even have time to say what I was going to. It's better to listen than to say everything you want to say. So those are things that makes it very, very down to earth. That's what I'm trying to do. It's real. We die daily for that reason. When you say, yes, Lord, the question is, at home, we've shared quite a bit lately on the altar and the cross. And so some of these things I said before, Aaron might have heard him, but most of you didn't. But you say, when we say, yes, Lord, that makes sense. Can you really say no, Lord? You know what's wrong with that sentence, that statement? You're calling him Lord and disagreeing with him? So you're in charge. He's not Lord. Peter said, when that sheet came down from heaven, he said, rise up and kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. So I looked that up sometime in the last couple of days because I was thinking about that. What did Peter say? And so Peter said, not so, Lord, but the Lord told him, yes, you know, you do this. You don't call something unclean that I cleanse. And so even some of these things, how does your language, how does your reactions say who's in charge? You know, I think I said it already, no, Lord. I think I did. But when I start thinking about it, that's impossible. Humility opens a man to God. Pride shuts the man to God. And the difference between humility is we humble ourselves and allow God to be in charge. And pride is when I am in charge, basically. That's one way of saying it. But it shuts those doors. If you don't crucify self, self will crucify Christ. And I believe that. I really believe that. If we don't crucify self, self will crucify Christ. One more verse yet here. I'm going to read one. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Bend your necks to allow yourself to be yoked to Christ, to his word. It is a humbling to do that. It's a joint couplings. It's a servant attitude. It's a pair of balances. You know, you pick up a weight, if it's not balanced, it wouldn't be very nice. But that's what the yoke means in the index, what they explain it to be. But bend your necks to allow ourselves to be yoked with Christ and to allow yourself to be yoked with your marriage partner too. And that it's a humbling. It's a putting our necks in that we allow ourselves to be yoked with someone else And in this way with Christ, he's in charge. So tonight, hopefully, this is a thing I really strongly believe, and I know it's a teaching, a discipleship type of teaching, to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. You know, deny yourself and embrace the Word of God, the cross, and continue to follow Christ. And so as we do that, because there's so much he wants in this world, this Lancaster County world. There's so much going on in churches and ideas and things happening. But are we going to be, regardless of all that, it doesn't matter, all that. But yet we're called to be like Christ. There too, maybe. But that's not what we're looking at. But we're called to be like Christ. I'll give up everything else for the sake of following Christ. And if I cannot serve two masters, so in light of that, I follow Christ. And I forsake all else, because I'm no longer in charge if I'm following Christ. Now, some people might have deceived themselves in believing they're following Christ. But if we deceive ourselves, there are people like that, obviously, and they are not, because Christ will say in the end, I never knew you. There's something in that that is very disturbing, very disturbing. But that's what it would mean. And so, thing about that, bring as we go through this weekend, this was a foundation I wanted to lay so I can do the rest, so we can build off of that. Because I don't want to build off of anything else but the cross and the altar, to come again to the altar. You know, in all things that you do, I just looked up a verse before we came, and Isaac went to that area. I forget the area right now, but he, in Genesis 26, 25, I think, he moved there. First thing he did is build an altar. Second thing he did is pitched his tent. Third thing, he dug a well. And I think it's one of those verses that wants me to dig into it and build a message out of it. I didn't. But that's what happened. We build an altar unto Christ. We have a place. We have water. We have living water. And let that river flow out of us. And that's what we need. And first of all, deal with yourself. And tonight, as you go home, I'm not going to push it any further. But where are you at? Who's in charge of your life? Is it Christ? Are you dying daily? If you see that, you will see, just like with me and my wife conversation, I immediately saw it afterwards. And that's how it should be. Don't condemn yourself, because you know what to do. Deny. Don't allow that. Confess. Repent. Our life is built, marked by repentance. You know, when we do wrong, we repent and go on. And so, let's all stand. I want to pray yet over this. Lord Jesus, we just come before you tonight. And Lord, I surrender my life to you. Lord, that it's for your glory. Don't let me steal any glory. But Lord Jesus, I know it's impossible, but yet we sometimes think we owe a little bit to ourselves. And Lord, we don't. And Lord, so help us all as we come and come together, and again tomorrow, that we humbly come together and look for ways to serve each other, because of our experience with you, that we have denied ourselves and taken up the cross and followed you. Bless each one here. Continue to let the word minister to each of our hearts, and continue to take us deeper into the understandings of what you have, what this all means, and what more you have for each one of us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.